Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Popstar Academy Cat's Eye, episodes 3 and 4. These two episodes deliver what we've come to expect from a Korean show. Girls get rated and judged, while Korean men sigh in disappointment. It's not a reality show until someone breaks an NDA. So, let's dive in. Hello, Juliet. How are you?
Well, good evening to you. We're recording this late on an evening.
On a weekday, on a school night.
I actually took a nap before you came. Or really? I did a little NSDR. Do you know what that is?
No.
Non-sleep deep rest. Like kind of almost like a trance. But you have somebody, you can listen to it on like YouTube or on a podcast. And they're walking you through these steps. And I guess based on the name, you're not supposed to sleep because it's non-sleep.
Right.
But I always fall asleep. It's usually a very soothing voice.
Okay. Are they like repeating something?
Oh, no, they're just telling you, relax like your arms, relax your legs, relax your feet. Or, you know, they're walking through all of these steps to relax your body.
So it's like Shavasana.
Yeah.
At the end of a yoga class.
Exactly. And it's supposed to get you almost to a state of sleep, but not quite sleep. And it's supposed to give you rest when you need it quickly, and it's usually about 15 to 20 minutes. So I turned something on because I was just so tired today. I woke up at like 5 something, so I was like, I need to nap before I do this, or else I am going to be sleeping on the podcast.
This sounds like the military sleep method. Have you heard of that, where it's like deep breathing, and it's like they have this way, these military guys, of putting themselves to sleep very quickly,
yes,
in under pressure, yes, situations.
I am a poor sleeper, so I've tried them all. This actually has worked for me, and it is, I was introduced to it by my idol.
Who?
Andrew Huberman.
Why did I even ask? Of course it was.
But the military one also does work. It involves like breathing in some, I think you have to hold your breath for a few seconds and release. It's also a way to release anxiety. So I've tried that too. Anyway, if anybody needs a quick nap, NSDR is a great way to get there. How are you?
I'm good. While you were napping, I was actually catching the last few minutes of the reality show that I'm watching that's not Popstar Cat's Eye. I'm actually watching Culinary Class Wars.
Yes.
It's that Korean like competition cooking show that's on Netflix right now.
Yes, I have watched that.
Our listener, her name is Eunice, she had messaged us and said, I know you're doing Cat's Eye, but I think you guys should really do Culinary Class Wars. But it was already too late. We already recorded it. And then so I watched Culinary Class Wars and I was like, oh man, this show is really
good. It is
good.
Very good. I went into it blind. Before I even saw Eunice's message, I was just looking for something to watch. And I guess it's telling that it wasn't Popstar Academy. But I saw it, and I really like that guy, Park Jong-won, who's one of the judges.
He's like probably the most famous chef of Korea because he's just been along for a long – he's almost like a Bobby Flay, it feels like, of Korea.
A Bobby Flay, or who's the guy that's always yelling at the chefs?
Oh, Gordon Ramsay?
Gordon Ramsay. He's like almost like a Gordon Ramsay. And I only say that – well, for a few reasons. One, he has many shows, like so many shows on Netflix. Then he has his own chain of restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Which we've all been to.
Yeah, it's
Jajangmyeon.
It's a Korean Chinese food. And then he now has a show that I just happened upon when I opened up On Demand Korea. And he's going to restaurants and yelling at the restaurant owners for doing a bad job. But he is like one of them, I would say arguably the most famous chef in Korea.
His like whole thing is street food. And then the other chef that's on the show,
so An Sung-jae, he grew, I had gone deep dive into him because
too.
I was so curious about this guy. He grew up in the States. I think he immigrated around 13. And then he went to the army. And then he went to the CIA, which is not the federal CIA, but the Culinary Institute of America.
It sounds like his parents might have had a Chinese restaurant and he helped work there,
yes,
too. Yeah.
We must have read the same Koreaboo article.
I mean, Koreaboo is the first publication I go to for my news.
He's had a prolific career because he worked at French Laundry.
And he worked at Beinu, where the chef owner is a Korean guy. And we had heard, this was now 15 years ago, me, a girlfriend and her husband were driving, you know, we had been out all night and we had heard a rumor that at Beinu, which is a very fancy place, like you're paying hundreds of dollars for dinner, that at the end of the night, they took all their scraps and made them into burritos and would sell these very fine dining gourmet burritos out on the streets of San Francisco.
Like, oh my God.
Like a burrito cart. And so we were like, you know, just driving around looking for this cart. We couldn't find it. So then our drunk asses walk up to the restaurant.
Oh, dear.
We can see everybody kind of like cleaning up in the kitchen. It's all glass.
You can see the entire kitchen from the alley.
Yeah. So we knock on the door.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear Lord.
And we're like, hey, where are the burritos? And the chef,
Corey Lee,
opens the door.
Oh, dear.
It's like, sorry. He was super nice. He was like, sorry. Like, we're not doing the burritos tonight or something like
that. Wait, I mean, but so then it was true. They did the burritos. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't an urban myth. They did it, but they weren't doing it that night. Or he just wanted to get rid of these two drunk girls knocking on the door at night. So yeah, that was my brush with the famous chef, Corey Lee.
Well, can I tell you my brush with Corey Lee?
Oh, yes.
When I had moved to San Francisco, I had moved to be closer to my boyfriend, who is now my husband. And I would frequent Union Square because that was just the place I loved to be.
Like sit in the square and watch people walk around? What do you mean? Are you shopping?
I would go shopping.
Okay. Union Square, San Francisco used to be, it is now a dead graveyard because of the pandemic, but it used to be a very happening shopping area.
I mean, you had all of the stores, all the major department stores. And back then I loved Barney's, rest in peace. But there was a Barney's there. And so I remember going and I was wearing high heels because I used to have to wear a lot of, well, not have to, but I wore heels to go to work. And I wore heels. I was shopping at Barney's. Maybe, I mean, I did not buy anything, but I came out and this guy approached me and he was, I mean, full on hitting on me. And he's like, I just love that you are in heels. Like nobody in SF ever dresses up, blah, blah, blah. He's like, can I get your number? And I was like, well, I have a boyfriend. And then he goes, well, I work at this bakery down the street. If you ever want to visit me or something like that. And I was like, okay, bro, get out of here. You work at a bakery, get out. And then
you're like a donut shop?
Yeah. And then this is when Beinu was first established and he was blowing up because he's this Korean American chef. And I looked at his picture and I was like, oh shit, that was Corey Lee. Oh. That was hitting on me.
Wow. So knowing that, would you have taken his number?
No. I mean,
you could have flirted to get a free meal.
That's, I mean, at least I could have done that.
I mean, at least.
Anyway, so this chef, An Sung-jae, used to work there.
So then he went back to Seoul, and now he's a 3-star Michelin chef in Korea, the only one.
Have you been?
Have you heard of it? Mm-mm. It's interesting, when we go to Seoul, we don't like do any research. You know, like if you were to go to any other city, you would know what the top restaurants are. You would be getting on wait lists.
Spreadsheet.
But when we go to Seoul, we just like, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. And so we aren't like looking things up. But I'm realizing now, like, we should finding what these restaurants are.
Even so, the premise of this show, I know we're not recapping it, but
now it's become now the Culinary Wars recap.
Eunice, thank you for your recommendation because in actuality, the Culinary Class Wars is quite fascinating.
And it's so much more Korean than Popstar Cat's Eye.
Yes. And, it, you know, we are a Korean reality TV recap podcast, so maybe that's what we should have watched. Anyway, we'll just give a quick synopsis. So if you're interested, you can
watch it. I think quick has gone out the window.
How many minutes has it been? Some of the Black Spoon people.
Right, which are more like an amateur level.
Yeah, but are like YouTubers that I've known for a long time and people who also have restaurants, but just not like Michelin star level.
It's a chef battle. It's a cooking battle. And it's just very interesting to watch.
I think also in true Korean reality style, they just ratchet up the kind of competition.
Yeah, and the production is like Physical 100. I wonder if it's the same guys.
Right, because like it's like a dark room. There was also elements of Devil's Plan in it.
Yes, I agree. But it also, because the narrator guy also sounds so much like Physical 100. Well, anyway. Great show. So we'll move on to the actual show we're recapping. Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye.
Well, they did make the opening of episode 3 quite dramatic. Missy and Sun come out saying they're just so disappointed in the girls.
It's like mom and dad coming out. They found something on your phone and they do not like what they found.
I thought they hooked up with somebody.
Yeah, or I like partying.
Yeah,
I thought had it was drugs. Like some of that. No, it's way worse. In like
way worse.
K-pop secrecy world. You know, you sign an NDA, you sign it away. Like,
yeah,
you
it
are
is.
Not.
It was quite serious, yes. And I think it was a lesson for not only those girls but also for people watching. Like, you sign these things, you are bound by them.
Right. I mean, they are children. These people they are. Don't understand. We find out that the girls have been posting on their private Instagram accounts to their close friends. And they all claim that the close friends are just these girls in the group. It seems like Missy got wind of this and she basically found the weakest link.
I know.
Sweet Lexi.
Lexi.
Our little fairy. It doesn't take much to break this little Swedish girl. You know, the Swedes. They're so neutral.
Isn't that the Swiss?
No, the Swedes, they were always neutral during World War II.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Like her ancestors before her, Lexi does not pick sides and basically rats out her fellow girl group members. And Missy is pissed.
But the biggest offense is that somebody had posted one of their original songs. And that person had more than just the 20 or some girls on her Instagram.
It turns out to be Naisha. At first I was like, oh, she's just gonna get a talking to.
I think, and Naisha takes it as though like she was being
wrongly
singled
accused.
Out. Yeah, yeah, and wrongly accused. And I was like, I mean, I don't think she was gonna make it anyway, frankly. And they probably saw this as an opportunity to get rid of her.
Yeah.
And
it felt very scapegoaty.
Yeah, it was. And I think they also wanted to make sure the girls got the message.
Right.
Like, we're not messing around here. But I think also it's so cutthroat. Like, this production is not like, oh, we're just going to give you a warning.
Yeah, you're getting kicked out. Son was like, was it so irresistible? Are you so weak?
That's such a Korean thing to say.
Yes. It sounds like Naisha has maybe lived in a lot of different places and kind of bopped around in her life. And she basically looks at the camera and is like, I have 1 month's worth of money. She's calling a friend in London to see if she has a place to stay when she gets back. Like, this is a girl who clearly, you know, she doesn't even really cry about it. She's been down before. She'll be back up. And she just, like, rolls with it. I think a lot of the other girls who, you know, have been, like, flown to dance lessons their whole life, right? They would have just been so crushed and been crying. And this girl is just like, all right, well, that's life. And I'll just move on. So we have to say goodbye to Naisha. Most of episode 3 is about vocals. We focused on dance in episode 2. Episode 3, we're seeing a lot of singing. It's not very interesting. No one's very good. Is it me or is no one very good at singing?
Yeah, no one is good. They also say Ilya is really good, but we don't get to see a lot of it. And I think interestingly, she's not, by the end of episode 4, she's not even on the top. So
she's,
I was like,
very lowly ranked.
Yeah,
actually.
I was like, that is interesting. And then they say Sophia is very good. And she's the Filipino one. I mean, mm-hmm. Filipinos and karaoke, that's like synonymous.
In fact, I was at a happy hour at work today and one of my Filipino coworkers brought out 2 karaoke mics.
What?
Like we
were you in the office?
Sing. Yeah, we were in the office.
Could you imagine at a restaurant or like a bar?
Oh, but still.
That's, I mean, yeah, that is wild. Like, she just carries it around.
Yeah, she just had it in her backpack. I was like, okay.
Amazing.
Right. We live up to the stereotype there.
Yes. So she's good. She's not mind-blowingly good.
No,
she's
nobody
not
is.
Quite.
She's not like a depth of a singer, you know, but I guess like in Korean pop music, you never actually get that. Like, I never hear Korean pop music and I'm like, oh, what a great singer. They never hit big high notes. It's not like Ariana Grande notes.
Well, because
right?
They're not soloists. So you actually don't want somebody who stands out too much. You want someone who can blend in well and sound good. And I think that's a topic we should put a pin in for a minute, because I think that's a theme of these two episodes. But what I wanted to say is Carly is also number three as a singer, but Bang Bang does not like her.
Oh, really?
He said, Bang Bang said, she hits the notes, but there's something uninteresting about her.
I see Carly and I find her to be so blah.
And he said, I don't think people would pay money to see her. And, you know, he is a business person and there's a reason he's good at what he does. But I was like 100% on board with that. And I feel terrible saying this, but there really is nothing that draws me to her.
Right. That's the star quality. She's missing that piece of it. Meanwhile, Manon, they say she has a good ear, good pitch. Singing instructor's like, she doesn't know how she's doing any of it. And that's a girl who, when she sings, like, it's not the most amazing, but she's drawing me in.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah. I thought I understood conceptually what star quality meant, but the more I watch this, now I get it.
So there isn't much to say about the singing. Like, they have an evaluation. Everyone's fine. No one is super impressive. Bang Bang does come away from that evaluation saying he knows if they keep training too long that they're going to lose their spark. And so he pushes them to debut like ASAP within weeks. And so at this point, they've been here at training and development for almost a year.
Yeah, that's a very long time.
We are on the clock. I think what this documentary doesn't do a great job of, and again, it's pacing, is like there's not that much sense of urgency. He's like, oh, it's in 5 weeks. And Missy's like, oh, that's a crazy insane time. But I don't like.
You don't feel it. Feel right, it. As a viewer.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, just whatever. Like another eval and like, all right, so here are some more girls. But it doesn't feel like, oh, these girls better work their asses off. Time is ticking and it's running out.
Yeah. I have a lot of qualms about the way this documentary was done. I also saw a number of girls in the group that we have never been introduced to.
Never talked to them. Brooklyn keeps getting introduced.
Yeah. And I'm like, nothing. I was like frantically searching online. I was like, where did she come from? Did I miss her all this time? Just magically appeared. No idea.
No idea. We see at the end of episode 3, they do bring in a new girl. Her name is Laura. She's Indian American. And we actually get a lot of backstory of her, but it sounds like the casting team found her again on the internet. She definitely has a presence. She's a teenager, but
she looks like she's our
26.
Age. Okay.
Nobody looks our age on that show, let's be real.
I mean, I still think I'm 26. But yes, she looks so much older.
She's got that Kylie Jenner overdone look. Yeah. Like, what's that girl, the espresso girl?
Sabrina Carpenter?
Yeah, Sabrina Carpenter. I know her from Disney. Like, she was really? In Girl Meets this. World. Yeah, she's like a Disney kid. And if you look at her back then when she was like her natural self, she's so cute. And now if you look at her, she looks like, I mean, she looks like Durian Babaladinga from The Boyfriend. I think she looks like a drag queen. Like, she has just so much makeup on.
Well, that's what they say about Gen Zers now, is because of the intense makeup, they've been doing skincare forever since they were like 8 years old, that the Gen Zers look so much older than even elder millennials who have taken good care of their face. And they tell her she's too sexy.
Yeah. And that she should pull it back. And they even say her pulling it back is every girl's pushing it five steps. It's interesting because in the makeover part of episode 6, Humberto Leon comes and he is there to basically redo these girls' visuals to match the group performance. And he asks all the girls for photos of them from when they were 13 to 15 years old.
Okay, how weird was that?
But I think his point is that when you're 13 to 15, you kind of aren't experimenting yet. Like, you're your natural self. Mm-hmm. And he wants to go back to more of a natural phase in their lives. And there's this larger conversation of like the group versus the individual.
Right.
And in K-pop, it's
all about the group.
And so in K-pop, he actually wants them all to go back to natural so they don't stand out, right? Even the uniforms that he puts on them. He's like, uniforms are very important in K-pop because it basically, uniform, the word, gives you uniformity. Mm. And it actually makes you all just blend in together.
Yeah.
And nobody can really stand out. Yeah. In the West, we're taught like be an individual, stand out.
Totally, yes.
And in Korean pop music, it's very like look the same.
Yeah. And this was when I said, let's put a pin on it. This is one of the topics I wanted to talk about, because I think that in American pop groups, and there aren't many of them, but like, you know, if you think of Danity Kane or...
Okay, that's definitely canceled with P. Diddy stuff right now.
Or NSYNC. Would the K-pop model have worked for them? You know, and so I know, I think the motivation here is interesting, because are they trying to make a global group, or are they trying to form this Western view and mold it into kind of the Korean model? And I'm not sure how that would work, because I think the idea of K-pop is like, it's somewhat foreign. Mm-hmm. And so people are attracted to that. But in America, we're so used to these groups, you know, having individuality and less kind of conformity, that I'm just curious how this will resonate with people.
I think it's also the mentality of the girls. Are these girls, like, is a Laura, who seems to really love to look at herself in the mirror, you know, like, is she going to be okay just blending in with the group?
Yes, I thought that a lot too, because they said even with her singing, she's almost taking on the lead too much. The other thing I thought that you would have loved was just the marketing aspect of this. Mm-hmm. You know, well, so what I was saying, when I thought it was creepy, the 13 to 15 year old thing, because I was like, there is also an interest in marketing this towards men who like young women. There is a lot more money to be made by making these girls seem really pure.
I have to say, as a marketer, I didn't think that, only because men are not a great target demographic. They don't spend that much money. They are not going to go to your concerts. They're not going to buy your merch. Hybe Geffen should be going after the yous and the me's, right? Like, we flew to Vegas to watch Blackpink. We bought our shirts. Like, we almost bought that $68 hammer stupid thing that, like, I can't believe anybody bought. If I were Hybe Geffen, I would always go to women like you and me who have a little bit of income, but like pop music.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that was gone too far. But I did think they were like, okay, the uniforms are great also because people can purchase them. Right. We could put patches on them, you know? And so they're thinking of this entirely as a business, which, you know, we know that they are and should, but I thought that was so interesting to be able to see the conversations behind the scenes.
You really are a cynic. I was like, oh, 13 to 15. He wants to like bring them back to their natural young state, you know, before they were adulterated by the world and society's eyes on them. And you're like, it's because they want the men to see them. Pretty little things. I'm actually, you know, I have a preteen. She's not that far away from 13.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and her friends are like into face masks.
Are they? Like, you mean face masks for skincare?
Yeah, for skincare. They all have their ears pierced. Yeah, they've all had their ears pierced for years. So my daughter's been dying for it. I'm just like too lazy.
Oh, has she? That's actually really surprising to me. She doesn't come off as somebody who would care. But I guess naturally all girls will eventually.
Right. So Laura joins. She's got a real Bollywood vibe. There are another six girls are added after Laura. Nobody very memorable. They kind of just gloss over them.
Yeah. Two come from Japan, two from Korea, and then...
one's from Brazil.
That's right.
She sings with her family in the kitchen.
Yes.
Cannot dance. One of the Korean girls, her name is Yoon Che. She's been on variety competition shows in Korea before.
So she's been training. I went on Reddit and... people feel that the girls who came later on, so Manon, Laura, Yoon Che, they were saying those girls did not try nearly as hard as the others because they feel that maybe Hybe Geffen had already confirmed with them, like, you're good.
Oh.
Like, you have a spot. Because if you notice, Manon doesn't show up to some of the things with Yoon Che and with Nayeong. Nayeong was like, She ended up in a girl group eventually.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
In Korea?
A Korean pop group. She's been on a ton of vocal shows. But these girls, they came in with a lot of training. Whereas the other 14,
were like
many of them.
From obscurity.
Yeah.
They don't give these girls much time. Although one of the Japanese girls I thought was funny, she was being interviewed and she's like, here in America, when girls say, you're so cute, everyone's just like, thank you. In Japan, if somebody says you're cute, you're like, oh, no, 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 no.
No, I'm not. That was so accurate.
when you were growing up and someone said that to you, did you say thank you or did you say, oh, no, 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 no?
Oh, I said, oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, sure you did.
Now I say, obviously, thank you. Nobody says that to me anymore.
I know. Well, hey, Juliet, today you look great.
How are my bangs?
So cute.
Thank you.
Episode 4 is all about the group performance. I'm really shocked they haven't done a group performance before. This is the first time.
It's been a year.
What have you been doing? No, but really, what have you been doing? Because I don't think that they're that good for being
Yeah, they're not that good. And again, the buildup to this was not great. Like, meaning the show did not make it interesting enough for me to feel like, wow, it's been a year. They put in so much work. Maybe these guys need to learn from the Korean reality show production team.
I agree. They need to bring in CJ Entertainment to instead of Netflix documentaries. You know, like, I think the most exciting thing about all of this is the group dynamic. How did they pick the groups? What went into picking who gets to perform with whom? How did they pick the songs? We don't even get to see any of them perform one routine in whole. I just feel like we're missing the connection with these girls because we actually don't really know what they can do. We haven't seen them fail. We haven't seen them do well. Yes. Like, they haven't inspired us.
Right.
They haven't. Like, if I could see one complete routine, I'd be like, oh, damn, they killed it.
Right. Even when they're failing, they just show us snippets. So you don't get all of the story. And when you see the group performance, you're not like wowed because you don't know where they came from. You don't know how bad they were or, you know, how much they've improved.
I used to love So You Think You Can Dance. I even watched it live, you know, and that's what they do. They like show you the trials and tribulations of the practice round, and then they show you the final beautiful production, and then you're wowed by it. And then you're actually feel a connection to these people. And I just feel zero connection to any of these girls. Like, I couldn't care less at this point who makes it. Because none of them have stirred me in any way. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm behind that statement 1,000%.
Yeah. Like, San says to them, you guys are just doing the actions and not feeling the music. That's us watching the show with these guys.
I mean, again, my biggest paragraph in my notes was about the marketing conversation. I was like, whoa, this is fascinating. You know, I was just really interested about the business. And I'm curious about whether the Korean model is going to be successful in the American model, because they're bringing all these people from different parts of the world that don't understand the Korean culture. And I think the K-pop model is very specific to Korean people. Even the Instagram thing to me is a Korean thing. Like, Korean people who are training will obey the rules because they know for them it's never like life or death. Yeah. And you just obey what your elders tell you to do.
Right.
The fact that these girls did that and Son is so disappointed, I'm like, yeah, because these girls are westernized. They break the rules. They don't give a fuck what an NDA says. There's a guy, Brandon. He's a Korean guy, and they said he's an artist content strategist. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Made up title. But he's telling these girls, you know, you guys are idols. And so you got to set a good example. You got to be ethical. You got to showcase a positive attitude, because the audience is always going to judge you by what they see in a brief moment. And again, that is such a Korean attitude. And Suga from BTS had a few drinks and was riding an electric scooter, ran into something.
I think he just like made a sharp turn at the end.
Yeah. And there was in front of his building. CCTV that caught it. CCTV. And he had to like make a public apology.
Oh my God. It was like a flogging.
Insane, right?
The things that the Korean media make these poor idols go through. Ugh.
And it's wild because he's so beloved. And even so, he was crucified.
I think, you know, Missy says to the camera, she's actually very nervous for these girls. Like, they're not going to be accepted for who they are, and they're not going to be well received. I mean, she's right. Like, that is the downside of fame, at least in Korea, for sure. They really build you up, and then they just quickly tear you down.
Anyway, that was the most interesting to me. I truly was like, okay, Daniela's facial expressions, they suck, okay.
And then, like, it was, like, kind of better.
Yeah, but it didn't even look – I was like, oh, my gosh, her expressions suck at the final one. And then they said it got so much better. And I was like, really?
Did it? These girls are so mid. I don't find any of them interesting or good. I'm sorry.
Go watch the show, guys.
glad you're sticking with us. But like, I'm still watching it because, I mean, obviously because of this recap, it's too late to ditch it. But also, I do want to see what the end product is. It's been a year, right? Like, they've been building up to this voting show. And so I do want to see what happens and how, and like, maybe we'll get some performances. I don't know. By the end of episode 4, they're getting ready to go public and make this big announcement in a conference room. I'm like, nobody seems ready. Missy does not seem ready for any of this.
Well, Missy told them they're not ready.
Missy is, like, the last evaluation, Missy is so emotional.
I cried in that scene.
Really?
I did.
Because her voice is breaking.
Well, her voice is breaking. Then Son tells the girls, like, you got to be grateful to this woman. She basically made this happen for you.
Yeah.
You know, so I teared up a little bit.
I know. You know, you need a Missy. She has the humanity.
Yes.
To kind of basically raise this group of young women and to try to make them better.
She seems to really care about them and their growth and their future. So yeah. I think that is also beautiful to see.
Yeah. The only other thing I noticed in the episode was they brought in a psychologist. I think what they're trying to show us is that they are being mindful of these girls' mental health. Pretty sure in Korea, none of these trainees are getting any mental health help. Three girls like walk around the house and they show us where they go to cry on the balcony, like the cry corner. I was like, oh, that is tough. Like, this is where we go to cry.
They called it the mental breakdown patio.
So they're watching out for the mental breakdowns, but they're also being very mindful of their physical breakdowns as well. We saw Emily fractured her foot. She had to sit out for a while. Lexi straight up gets surgery.
On her hip? That's major. Do you think that's how they got her to confess about the Instagram accounts? They're like, you want to fix your hip? You want us to take you to the hospital? You better tell us who's on that account.
You see the scalpel? You tell us we're putting the scalpel on your hip. And yeah, so that's about it. We saw some pretty poor singing, some pretty lackluster dancing. Some new girls we're never going to get to know. Some old girls we don't care about. I mean, I don't know. Cat's Eye, you got to work harder. All of this goes to show that every pop star that we see hit the top 50, the amount of work and polish,
yes,
and money,
yes,
that is thrown behind all of these artists. Like, nothing is by accident. All of these people on top 50 were put there by a machine. So it makes me appreciate our pop stars more.
Yeah.
What it takes to break it to the top.
Yeah. Last week you said that you were afraid that it would make you disillusioned after watching this, but it actually makes you appreciate them, right?
Because I think so.
There's so much work that goes into it.
Yeah. Any favorites for you out of these last two episodes?
I mean, going back to our point that we did not get to know them, as much as I kind of bashed on Carly earlier for not being that interesting, I don't think she's interesting enough for a pop group. Mm-hmm. But as a person, I really liked her because I noticed that she's kind of a chameleon. She goes through each group. She has a good relationship with a lot of the girls. She was even talking with the Korean girls, even though she doesn't speak Korean. And so I liked that she was so easygoing.
She had a very drastic makeover. They made her blonde.
Yes.
It's always surprising to me who can pull off the blonde. I thought she looked good after.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
It was good to see Emily back dancing. But man, that girl cannot sing at all. I don't know what's going to happen to her.
Out of tune.
Oh, so bad. There were some scenes with Menon and she has like a friend.
Again, why? What was the point of adding the friend into this documentary?
But honestly, that friend was the most interesting person.
She was so funny. She's such a cynic.
So cynical. She's like, I mean, you're not going to win. Like, what are these girls doing? There's only like so many spots. Like, what are they all doing here? And then she's like, send me the video. You're not going to send me the video. I'm like, oh my God, girl, chill. We see her twice. They have two conversations. Yeah. And in both the conversations, this girl is like, I mean, you know, like, whatever. And like, that's not going to work out. And what are you going to do? And I was like, wow, this girl is hot. So, I mean, honestly, of all the girls, she's the most interesting one.
The girl from the outside.
I'm actually not surprised that they are not showing kind of the spicier side of these girls. I don't. Have you ever watched that Blackpink documentary?
No, I haven't.
So that one is also, you know, they're following the Blackpink girls and you're kind of showing the friendships, but they don't show them going through strife or anything like really bad. They don't talk about their trainee days really. You know, it's a lot, again, of this packaging of this kind of cohesive, perfect girl group. And it's maybe a little bit also why we're not as engaged, because it's all kind of very slick.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all intentional.
You get what they want you to see.
Yep.
Okay, so that was episodes 3 and 4 of Popstar Academy Cat's Eye. I'm pretty sure we spent more time talking about culinary wars than we did about Cat's Eye, but that's okay. We are an equal opportunity Korean reality
show. Probably also
podcast.
Hungry, you know, so that is fueled.
That is a thing about these cooking shows. At least with a pop star show, like, I can appreciate the music and the dancing and the visuals. With cooking, I'm like, okay, that looks like it could be good.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
But it could, yeah, it could also just look beautiful but taste disgusting.
And then they're like, and you're like, all right. You know, it doesn't have that same impact of appreciation because I can't taste the food. But with Popstar, I can hear and see the music.
Yes, right.
However lackluster it may be. Okay, that was Popstar Academy Cat's Eye episodes 3 and 4. Next week, we'll be back with 5 and 6. If you're not watching Culinary Wars, hope you're watching Popstar Academy. Be well, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.